Okay, so we are holding on Lamed Hey Amud Beis 9 lines from the bottom. We discussed yesterday a series of a couple of kavachomers dealing with which the issue that they were surrounding was the question: are you allowed? Can Beis Din execute somebody who's chayiv misa on Shabbos? We argued there could be a kavachomer conceivably that yes. We ended up saying that no, we have a pasuk like Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshvaseichem teaches us that no. Moshvaseichem meaning Beis Din, as we said, because Moshvaseichem B'chol Moshvaseichem B'chol Moshvaseichem, so it's there to show that the word Moshvaseichem means Beis Din. Okay. Omen Abaya. Given that you're saying that we established in the previous part of the Gemara that Ritzicha, that executing a person, is not Docha Shabbos, then we should argue Ein Ritzicha Docha as Avoda. We should argue, unlike we were saying yesterday, that we said that Ritzicha is Docha Avoda, in the sense that if you have a Kohen who's getting ready to do the Avoda, but he's Chayiv Mitzah, so then you take him away from the Avoda that he was going to do, or even that he's in the middle of doing, according to the Rambam, and you take him away to be executed because but based on, now that we established that Ritzicha is not Docha Shabbos, we should argue that we can make a Kavachomer, that it's not Docha Avoda either. Namely, Uma Shabbos Shenidchus L'Pnei Avoda, Madoch Shabbos, which is Nidcha in the face of Avoda, because the Avoda is done on Shabbos, even though it involves various Malachas, Ein Ritzicha Docha Oysa, but we just established before that Ritzicha, that execution by Beis Din, is not Docha Shabbos, because Lois of Aruesh. Well then, in that case, Avoda she doches a Shabbos ain't a din shalite ritzicha doches. Avoda then is stronger than Shabbos because it puts aside Shabbos. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that ritzicha should not be doche? So you should be able. So if you have a kohen who wants to go do the avoda, you should allow him to do the avoda or finish the avoda as the case may be, and then take him away to be executed. You shouldn't allow the avoda should be to be nidcha because of ritzicha. So Abaya will say, okay, so Abaya argues, okay, what are you going to do with the pasuk we quoted, that you take the person away from next to my Mizbeach? You would argue, I would say, Abaya says, fine, that's talking about if he's going to do, or is in the middle of doing, a korban yachid, which taka, a korban of a yachid cannot be brought on Shabbos. So then, the kavachomer taka wouldn't work for that. But so when it comes to a korban yachid, a korban chathas, an oilo, whatever, for a korban sibur, which is docha Shabbos, you should argue that if a kohen is going to be performing the avoda of the korban sibur, you should allow him to, and then wait for him to do that before you take him away for that. Okay. Omar Rava, however, avoda means avoda in general.
It's bigger than Shabbos.
Well, that's what we're arguing because avoda is docha Shabbos. Avoda of a korban sibur, that is, not of a korban yachid. But avoda of a korban sibur, the korban Pesach, for example, the korban Talmud, the Musafim, etc. So if you have, let's say, for example, the Kohen Talmud is brought just as well on a weekday as on Shabbos. So let's say on a weekday, the Kohen is in the middle, is about to do the one of the avodas of the Talmud, or according to the Rambam, according to the way the Magen Mishnah understands the Rambam, even he's in the middle of the avoda. All the korban sibur should kavur lahem zman. The rule is it has to be a korban sibur and it has to be something that has a fixed time.
All of the korban sibur
that have a fixed time are all Dercha Shabbos. Yeah. Okay.
So Avoda is Dercha Shabbos.
Avoda we see is Dercha Shabbos. So therefore, by that logic, Avoda ought to be Dercha Ritzicha. That's the point.
You know it because you say in your Seder every Shabbos, not all the korban.
Yeah, Mary mentioned it. It's true. We mentioned the Musafim. Yeah. Okay.
That does mean
no, but that's what it is. That's the Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbos, the Korban Talmid, if a Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, you bring the Korbanos Musaf. Yeah. Okay, Amar Rava. So Rava says, okay, but if you're gonna understand the Kavachomer that way, then actually you're not gonna be able to make the pasuk the way that you Abaya are trying to do it, to say that there'll be a distinction between a korban yachid and a korban sibur, then in that case you're not going to be able to get the pasuk to work for a korban yachid either. By your logic, you should be able to argue that ritzicha, that executing a person in Beis Din, should not be able to be docha a korban yachid either, even though a korban yachid can't be brought on Shabbos, because using your own logic, you could argue like this. My yomtov shenitchem b'nei korban yachid, madach yomtov, never mind Shabbos, but madach yomtov, which is pushed aside for a korban yachid, in the sense that if a person is bringing his korban yachid, he can do that on yomtov. We're going to see in a few lines it's actually a machlokes, but the halacha is like this hillel that you're allowed to. If you have nedarim and nedavos, you're allowed to bring them on yomtov. The halacha is that you can. So my yomtov shenitchem, yeah, you can. My yomtov shenitchem b'nei korban yachid, madach yomtov, which is pushed aside for the sake of a korban yachid, ein ritzicha d'chayisay, and yet you're arguing that ritzicha does not override yomtov, because when we say lo sevaru esh b'chol meshvesechem b'yem haShabbos, that includes yomtov as well. It's still one of the malachas. You have certain malachas that are allowed on yomtov that are not allowed on Shabbos, but this isn't one of them. Korban yachid shu dochas yomtov ain't a din shalai tehei ritzicha dochas. So wouldn't you argue then that a korban yachid, which is stronger than yomtov in that it's offered even on yomtov, ain't a din shalai tehei ritzicha dochas? Wouldn't it then be a kavachomer that ritzicha shouldn't push it off either? And in that case, then you're not going to be able to find an application for the pasuk me'im mizbechi at all. You're arguing you want to make a distinction between a korban yachid and korban sibur because you can bring a korban sibur on Shabbos but not on Yom Tov. But never mind Shabbos. Look at it from the point of view of Yom Tov. If you're going to go that way, then you don't have an application for the pasuk. Fine, but the point is we still find that ritzicha is not dercha Yom Tov. Okay, Tosfos actually discusses the question, Taka, how do we know that it's not? Maybe Taka, you could argue that ritzicha is not dercha Shabbos, but it is dercha Yom Tov. But Tosfos says, okay, still, given the other kavachomers that we have over here, we have a different kavachomer that Shabbos is pushed aside for the avoda, but not for ritzicha. So then we can apply the same thing to Yom Tov. So we can say that after all, Yom Tov is stronger than ritzicha. We can still use that kavachomer to say that ritzicha, that execution by Beis Din, will not take place on Yom Tov. Anyway, so in that case, then again, if you're going to argue the kind of kavachomer that you, Abaya, are trying to make, then you're going to say that ritzicha is not dercha any kind of korban, because any kind of korban can be brought on Yom Tov, korban yachid or korban sibur. And you can continue, Rava continues his argument, fine, you could make your kavachomer, you could make your distinction when it comes to Shabbos work according to the opinion of Beis Shammai that nedarim and nedavos are not brought on Yom Tov. So then, fine. You can say the same with the same distinction between korban yachid and korban sibur that applies on Shabbos also applies on Yom Tov. Fine. Then you'd be able to make your kavachomer about that and be able to make it work that for a korban yachid you would say you take him away to be executed, but for a korban sibur you let him finish the avodah first. But according to the opinion, which is the halacha, that you can bring the dorim and adavos on Yom Tov. Then what are you going to? Actually, I shouldn't say it's not reading Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is a different question about whether you can bring your Oilus Re'iyah and your Shammai Chagigah on Yom Tov. That's a different issue, actually. Here we're talking about regular Nedarim and Nedavos, and actually the halacha is you can't. If I was Menadav months ago, for example, that I'm going to bring an Oilus or Shlomim or what have you, I can't bring it on Yom Tov. So fine, because Yom Tov, I'll live to Hilchos, so that would work. But the fact is, there is another opinion that says that Nedarim and Nedarim can be brought on Yom Tov, even if they have nothing to do with Yom Tov. It's not the halacha, but nevertheless, Ma'ik Lamema, what are you going to say according to that opinion? How are you going to make your kavachomer work? The fact that we don't slug up that opinion on the basis of this shows that your kavachomer doesn't work. It shows that your distinction between korban yachid and korban sibur doesn't work.
It should work
both. Yes. Ella, Omar Rava, so no. Rava says rather as follows. Needless to say, according to the opinion that Nedarim and Nedavos can be brought on Yom Tov, which again is not the halacha, according to that opinion, for sure, you can't draw your distinction that you, Abaya, want to make between Korban Yachid and Korban Sibur and say Ritzicha is Doicha one but not the other. Because then, according to that, you're not going to be able to make the pasuk me'im mizbechi work at all, because you're going to say that if a korban yachid is doicha yom tov, according to that opinion, then in that case, it makes it stronger than ritzicha. In that case, then you're going to say both a korban yachid and a korban sibur are stronger than ritzicha, and you would never be able to apply the pasuk me'im mizbechi.
Because
you would say, but on the basis of the kavachomer, on the basis of the kavachomer, that nedarim and nedavos, that avoidus of a korban yachid are stronger than yomtiv, And Yom Tov is stronger than Ritzicha, so that would mean that Avodah, even if a Korban Yachad is stronger than Ritzicha. And therefore, it means you'd never apply the Pasuk, Me'im Mizvachi to Kachen Olamos, that somebody is about to do the Avodah, and you would say, take him away. So even according to, so certainly according to that, Ela, Filu, Lamadu, Omen, Adorim, and Adobas, Ein, Kraven, Yom Tov, but, continues Rava, even according to the opinion, that Adorim and Adobas cannot be brought on Yom Tov, which Taka is the Halacha. Nevertheless, still, your distinction Abaya is not going to work. Because Hoksiv Me'im Mizbechi. So the Pasuk doesn't just say from next to the Mizbeach. It says next to my Mizbeach, implying Mizbechi Am Yuchadli. Meaning, it means the Eibishter is saying my Mizbeach, the Korbanos on the Mizbeach, which are special to me. Umayninu, namely, what is that Korban that is special? What is that Korban that's special? That is the Tumid. The Korban Tumid. Is called the Mizrachi is Mashma Rashi says Amyuchadli, the Tumid, which is the main thing of all the Korbanos. It's the primary Korban, the first Korban of the day, the last Korban of the day, and therefore, in that sense, it's the most important. In fact, I mean, we say every day in davening, the Korban Ni Lachmi Leishai. Yeah. Ba'omer Rachmanim Im Mizrachi Tekachenu Lamos. And yet the Pasuk says that from my Mizbeach, meaning even if it's bringing the Korban Tumid, which is a Korban Sibur, which is Doicha Shabbos, nevertheless, you take him away to be executed. So therefore, your distinction that you, Abaya, want to make on the basis of the fact that some kinds of avodas can be done on Shabbos and some can't, that doesn't follow. The very fact the Pasuk says, Im Mizbechi, comes to tell you, don't think like that. It comes to tell you, regardless of Korban Yochid, Korban Sibur, you still, Im Mizbechi, to Kachenu Lavus, even though, yes, you would think to make the Kavach Omer, but no, you don't. That sets aside the Kavach. If it said, Im Mizbeach, then you would say, Korban Yochid versus Korban Sibur. Then you could make that distinction. Because it says, Im Mizbechi, meaning even the Tumid, that means that's it. There's nothing to talk about. It means everything. It means, regardless of Korban Yochid, Korban Sibur, you still, a Kohen is about to do the Avodah, or in the middle of doing the Avodah, you still take him away. Okay, so that's that. Yeah. Okay, then the Mishnah had said, Dinim Mominus Atumas Vataris. Well, the Mishnah had said yet another one of the distinctions between Dinim Mominus, we said when it comes to Dinim Mominus, as well as questions of Tumah Vatara, and then most other kinds of things that come to a based in, we said, you begin Minagodo, you begin from the senior member of the based in. You ask his opinion first, and then you work your way down. As opposed to Dinin Nefashis, you start from the side, you start from the junior members.
And that's because?
So we'll see. So that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara.
We mentioned
it briefly, but we're going to get into it more in the Gemara. So first, Omar Rav, Ano Havoi B'minyona Debei Rebbe. So Rav tells one time, we learned this in Gittin as well, I was among the members of Rebbe's Beis Din when they were voting on something. The actual situation over there within Gittin was a din involving Sikrika and a din involving when you have the mafia or whatever try to force a person to sell his field, sell me your field at a cheap price or I'll kill you, etc. So basically. So we learned that there's a Mishnah in Gittin over there before the Sugya of the Churban that talks about that, and then later on the Mishnah mentions that Rebbe and his Beis Din voted on a change. And the din in that, and so the Gemara discusses that the Gemara discusses the circumstances. So Rav is saying, I was a member of that Beis Din when they voted on that. And they started when they asked for the people's vote, or the people not so much the votes actually, but they started with the opinions. They started with me first. So the question is why? We see in our Mishnah that when it comes to dinim mominus or anything else except dinim nefashis, you start from the head. So they should have voted. He's not Godel compared to Rebbe. He's Talmud of Rebbe. They should have started with Rebbe. Rebbe's based in. The Minyana Devei Rebbe. Whatever. It doesn't matter how old he was. The point is, he's either the junior Talmud or at least one of the lesser Talmudim. Yeah, he's not necessarily the youngest or the most.
How do we know that? I mean,
because we know he wasn't Rebbe, that's for sure. Rebbe is
no, he wasn't Rebbe.
Fine. Well, then in that case, you should have had to start with Rebbe. What do you mean? Why is Rav saying they started first with me? The answer is, Omer Rabba Breda Rabba, he came to Rav Hillel Breda Balas, or some say Rav Hillel Breda Balas said, Shaini Minyona Debe Rebbe, De Kula Minyonayu Minatzad Hava Maschli. It's different when it came to the voting in Rebbe's Beis Din. All of their voting was always, they always started Minatzad. Now, they never started with Rebbe. Now, why is that? Rashi says because Rebbe was very humble. We know at the end of Sota, it mentions Mishmes Rebbe, Botla Anov of Yiraschet. So he was exceptionally Anov, and therefore, that's what Rashi says over here. Rashi doesn't reference the Mishnah in Saita, but we know that from when we learn Saita. But Rashi just says, There's a couple of other reasons that Mephoshim give. There's another reason that's given, which is that Rebbe's Beis Din is the last generation of Tanoim. They're establishing precedents that are going to be for all time, because there's not going to be any greater Beis Din to overturn them. So therefore, in a certain sense, it's kind of like Din Nefashis in that sense. It's something that has to be kept that way.
Correct. I thought you were going to say it's a great commandment of the
Indian of Nefashis. No. And then there's yet another explanation. Actually, the Kosi Shuris says an interesting one based on the next piece of Gemara. The next piece is we're going to discuss the idea that Rebbe is the first one in hundreds of years who had Toto Gdullah B'Makom Echad. He says the Varte, usually you have to start Minag Gadol, because he shouldn't set aside his honor. He shouldn't be Moichel on his cupboard, because there may be others who think they're as great as him. Everybody knew there's nobody of Rebbe's caliber in that generation, and therefore there's no problem beginning Min Asad if nobody's going to think that they're as great as Rebbe.
Who said that?
The Kosi Shuris and the Salmas Gemara says that.
Okay.
So that brings us to the next.
Everybody knew
he's the authority. So yes, which is why. So he says that's why the Gemara brings this next point about Toto Gdullah B'Makom Echad. The simple sense we would say the reason the Gemara brings it is because it's another thing that Rabba Berei D'Rava or some say Rabbi Berei D'Ravala said. So since we mention one thing, we mention another. But the Kosi Shuris says that's the actual thematic connection between them, because this second thing explains why they did it this way in Rebbe's Beis Din. From the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe, we never find Torah and greatness in one place. You should have one person, one unique person among the Jewish people who is the greatest in Torah and who is the greatest in Malchus, in Unisius. From Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe, a period of 1,500 years.
Between both.
Yeah. So the question is, No, Rabbi Akiva was not. Rabbi Akiva wasn't the Nasi of his generation. He was the greatest Talmid Chacham. He had Torah. He didn't necessarily have Gula. Okay, he had a Nasi in his times. There was Rambam Gamliel, or Shimon Gamliel, who were the Nasiim in his times. Whatever.
He was the Nasi and the greatest.
So the question is, what do you mean? No. Have Yeshua. What about Yeshua? Had Torah or Gula? The answer is, have Elazar. Okay, but he had Elazar also was equally as great as him in Torah. So it's not the Makom Echad. He had an equal. Okay, the question is, well, have a Pinchas. Elazar was as great in Torah as Yeshua, yeah?
How do we know that?
We know. The question is, well, have a Pinchas. What about in the next generation that was Pinchas? The answer is, have a Skenim. Okay, but there were the other Skenim. Rashi says, Osniel and Ivtson, were Boyaz, etc. There were the various Shoftim. Some of them were as great as him in Torah. Okay, but I'll have a Shoal. The answer is, have a Shmuel. But you have Shmuel in his time. Okay, but Shmuel passed away while Shoal was alive. So from then on, you have Shoal is the greatest in Toto Gdula. The answer is Kul Shnitam. And we're talking about throughout all the years when the person was the leader. Moshe Rabbeinu, throughout his entire leadership, there was no equal to him. For the last 4 months of his reign, there was nobody his equal. But before that, Shmuel was alive, so there was.
Shmuel was great.
Shmuel was at least as great in Torah as Shaul. Okay. Bahab David. What about David HaMelech? The answer is Haba Ira HaYairi. You had Ira HaYairi, which Rashi brings from a Gemara in Moed Katan, that he was the greatest Talmud Chacham of that time. He would sit on pillows and teach the Chachamim. And David considered him his authority in Torah. David Ira HaYairi HaKoyim LaDavid is the expression of the Pasuk, meaning that he was David's personal Rebbe. He would sit on cushions and pillows to teach the Chacham. There's also the Tosfos points out, Mephibosheth also, yeah.
Why?
The point is that there were other people in that time, for example, the Sira Hayairi, who were as great as David in knowledge of Torah. Again, the question is, but Ira passed away while David was alive. Again, the answer is Kulishnei Kamrin and fine, but we mean throughout his whole period of leadership, David had for some period of time during his 40 years of kingship, he had Ira as his equal in Torah. What about Bahava Shloima? The answer is Haba Shimi ben Gera. Okay, but you have Shimi ben Gera, who was actually his Rebbe. And Rashi points out Shimi was a great person, apparently in leadership also, as the Pasuk mentions that when he came to ask Mechila from David after having cursed him, etc., he came down with 1,000 heading 1,000 people, showing that he had greatness, he had Gdula in that sense also. Anyway, so he was great, and so he was as great as Shlomo in that sense. Again, the question is, well, Kaplay, but didn't Shlomo execute Shimi as a Murder of Malchus? Again, the answer, because he was a Murder of Malchus. He cursed David, so David told him, David tells Shlomo before he passed away, from that Torah of Vayechi, that make sure you don't allow Shimi to get off scot-free, find some way to demonstrate that he's a Murder of Malchus. So Shlomo puts him under city arrest, you're not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. He ends up leaving Yerushalayim, and Shlomo has an excuse to get rid of him. Anyway, but, yeah, whatever. Okay, again, the answer is cool. How do you have? I mean, unfortunately, a person doesn't always, a person learns
started.
The smarter
you are.
Yeah, we learned about Shevna. We're going to learn on the next line again about Shevna. We had in a previous parak with Shevna was a great Talmud Chacham, but he was also a Mushkas. Yeah. Unfortunately, it happens.
You should have just sat down and shut up.
Yeah. Okay.
Onward.
This is why it's not just learn enough to learn Nigla. You got to learn Chassidus. Otherwise, yeah. Onward. Okay. The answer is, again, Kulish. Again, the answer is Kulish Shnei Kamrinin. We're talking about throughout his whole time of leadership. So Shlomo had an equal for part of his leadership. Okay. Ha'hava Chizkiya. What about Chizkiya Melech? The answer is Hava Shevna. Okay, but he had Shevna at that time. The question is, but he was killed, as we learned from Shevna, as we learned before, that he had, well, we learned before, he had even more Talmudim than Chizkiya, that he had 13,000 Talmudim. If you had 13,000 Talmudim that he had, as opposed to 11,000 for Chizkiya, as we said earlier in our Masechta, it means that he was at least as great in knowledge of Torah.
And
he was a Mushkas.
What did that say about you? Talmudim were not the bright.
No, but Pashtos, it means, no, that's the whole reason, is we said Chizkiya was afraid that maybe they're considered the Roiv, and Avish has to tell him that Kesher Roshoi made him in Amin. Okay, the truth is, Tosfos mentions over here that maybe we shouldn't be going to the question about Chizkiya.
Oh.
Because first of all, Chizkiya didn't rule over the whole Jewish people, because the Aseret HaShvatim had gone into Galus. Chizkiya didn't rule over the whole Jewish people, because he only ruled over two Shvatim. The other 10 went into Galus. And besides that, also, Tosfos says, of course you don't count Shevna. Shevna was in Russia. There's no reason to count him. Mela Shimi, okay, he was maybe not a Rosh. He made a bad mistake, but he's not a Rosh. Shevna, we said before, was a Rosh. Okay, anyway, the answer is Kulush Shnei Kamin, and again, we mean throughout his whole time of leadership, Chizkiya had for part of his leadership, Shevna was around. So he's still not total Gulub Makamach. Vahava Ezra, what about the second Mishnah Mikdash? You have Ezra, have Nechemya ben Chakalia. Okay, but you had Nechemya, who was equally as great as him in Torah. So therefore, the bottom line is you don't have total Gulub Makamach from Moshe Rabbeinu and Torah. Omer of Adaba Abba, Afani Omer, I can also say in a similar vein, Mimos Rebbe, Adrab Ashi, Lemus in a Toto Gulub Machem Echad. In the same way, from Rebbe until Rab Ashi, there was also not Toto Gulub Machem Echad. Question is, what do you mean not? What about Hunabar Nosson lived in the time, he was a contemporary of Rab Ashi? He was the Reish Kabul. So Tosfos mentions over here that he was Korev L'Malchus. He was very close with the government. Tosfos references a story in Zvachim where the king himself personally reaches over and adjusts Hunabar Nosson's belt.
So Hunabar Nosson was the
Reish Kabul? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, not in Bava. We didn't have it in Bava Basra. No, we had it. We mentioned Hunabar Nosson in Bava Basra, but the actual story itself is in Zvachim. Thank you. So you have somebody who's equally as great as Torah in either Torah or Gula, as the case may be, as Rav Ashi. The answer is no. Huna Bar Nosson make of Havakayef Leila Rav Ashi. The answer is no. Huna Bar Nosson was subjugated to Rav Ashi. In other words, he may have been great in Gdula, but he wasn't as great as Rav Ashi in Torah or in Gdula. He was secondary to Rav Ashi. So therefore, yes,
he wasn't as great
because I don't know, I wasn't there, but the Gemara knew, the Amoraim knew that he wasn't as great either in Torah or in Gula as Rav Ashi. He was secondary. He played second fiddle to Rav Ashi. So therefore,
Rav Ashi was the Rosh Yeshiva for 58 years,
for almost 60 years. Yeah. So therefore, so you got Torah Gula Makom Echad Rav Ashi again. And as Mefarshim points out, Tertus Chaim points out that the importance of this is, so we have Moshe Rabbeinu who gave us Tertus Shabbat Sav.
By the way, why don't they bring up Yavina?
Because Ravina was a Talmud Chaver of Rav Ashi. He's still definitely secondary to him.
Oh.
Yeah. Even though they're always talking. Yeah, okay. But, so the Torah Chaim points out that you have over here, it's important because you have Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Torah Shabbosav, the Eivish dictated to him. The Rebbe gave us the Mishnah. Rav Asher gave us the Gemara. Those are the basic pillars of Torah. And therefore, for each one of them, it was important that they had Torah Gilub Makamachot so that what they give us is accepted without anybody arguing, yeah, but there was somebody equally as great, and then we should maybe listen to them instead.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to have the Nasir.
And how about, obviously it's not mentioned in the Gemara, but Beis Yosef. I mean,
I don't know if the Beis Yosef had Torah Gilub Makamachot. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there were definitely great Talmud Chachamim in his time. The Rama, for example. No, he wasn't a Nasi. There was no Nasir.
Well, the Rama, yeah, you see that, right.
Yeah. So I don't know if after Rav Asher you could ever say it's a Torah Gilub Makamachot. Maybe. I don't know. Okay.
Well, he had to wrap it up.
Okay, onward. Dinin nefashos maschilin min atzad. Then we said in the Mishnah that dinin nefashos, you don't begin with the greatest member of the Beis Din. You begin from the side, from the junior members. Menahani mili, where we know this from. Amar of Achaba papa amakro, because the pasuk says loisane al riv. The pasuk says don't answer on a riv. So the simple meaning of riv means an argument. But because it says it in the pasuk, it's written in the Chumash in the Sefer Torah without a yud, you can read it as loisane al rav. Don't speak up against the Rav, meaning the Muflash of a Beis Din, the lead member of the Beis Din. So from the Lashon of Rashi over here, it's somewhat, and also earlier in the Perek, it's somewhat mashma that Rashi is saying you're not allowed to argue with him. If he says his opinion, you're not allowed to argue with him. A number of the other Rishonim and Achronim talk about that. They say, how you talking? And the fact is, if you one of the junior members of the Beis Din see a reason to say against what he's saying, I mean, you got to speak up, and all that, like the and all that. So they talk about, what?
In Momin,
so Tosva says that maybe in Dinya Mominus, so that's not a concern. But anyway, So Tosva says maybe in Dinya Mominus at least you could answer in a respectful way. You're not blatantly, I argue with you, such and such, but is it possible that maybe the positive, or whatever means such and such,
as opposed to,
the question is that we're saying that Dinya Mominus, that Lachura, this Din doesn't apply, because Dinya Mominus, we said you do begin from the senior member of the Beis Din. So Tosfos says, because when it comes to Dinim Omenus, we're not choshesh about that din at all, of Lysana al Rav, or even if we are choshesh, fine, you can do it by saying it in a respectful way, derech she'ela.
You're saying it first.
No, if the Muflash of a Beis Din is saying, that's why we said, by Dinim Nefashos, we don't want to do that. By Dinim Nefashos, we want to start with the junior members, so that person feel free to speak their opinion.
Dinim Omenus, the
road. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So they talk about. But that's what Tosfos is saying, that either we say it doesn't apply to Dinim Mominus, or we say with Dinim Mominus it's not so bad, because fine, definitely you're allowed to speak up, but with Dinim Mominus you'll speak up in a respectful way. Is it possible that maybe the Din should actually be such and such?
Right.
As opposed to Dinim Nefashos, you want to give them maximum latitude. You don't want to have to have it, they're going to have to start thinking for the right words. You want them to be able to say straight out to be able to find reasons to exonerate the guy. With all that said, there are a number of the Rishonim that talk about the Radbaz, for example, who's already at Akron, whatever, writing one of his Trubas, but there are Rishonim who talk about this similar idea also, that the Isser is not really so much on the junior members themselves, the Isser is rather on the senior member. Don't speak up you, Loisana Al-Riv, don't you speak up first, and thereby make it uncomfortable for the junior members to speak up and have to argue against you.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So you have two different
that's
ways of responding.
Mean.
Rabbi Baba Chana Omer Rabbi Yechanan Mehocha. Rabbi Baba Chana says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, you can learn this concept from a different side. In Sefer Shmuel, it describes, you have this guy Novel Akarmeli who insults David and refuses to give his men food and whatever. So David judges, because he was a stingy guy. But anyway.
Stingy people are insulted.
Yeah. So David got angry at all this. He figures the guy's a murdered b'malchus, and he gets together his men to judge him as a murdered b'malchus and go wipe him and his family out until Abigail, his wife, comes with a whole present of food and talks David out of it. Anyway, Vayomer David la'anoshav chigru ish eschar. So David says to his men, everybody tie on your sword. Each of them tied on a sword. And David also tied on his sword. So the fact that it mentions that David tied on his sword last, he being the Muflosh of a Beis Din, is what teaches you that with Dinin Nefashos, the leader is the one who has to speak up last.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Amar Rav. Shoyna Odom Otamidei, a Rebbe is allowed to, when it comes in the middle of a trial, he can teach the din to his Talmud and discuss with him during the din Torah itself why we would think to argue with chus or why we would think to argue with chayva.
During the din,
yeah, the don imo the din in the fight, the don imo, and then he can and that shown adam l'tamid the don imo, he can teach his Talmud and the don imo, and then he can vote along with him the din in the fashas when it comes to din in the fashas. So in other words, the Rebbe teaches his Talmud, for example, in the course while the trial is going on. Here's a reason why we should convict the guy, or here's a reason why we should exonerate the guy. And the Talmud accepts that svara of his Rebbe. And then when it comes to voting, then they can count as two votes. Yes.
Although you taught him the deed,
the question is Mesir. The Gemara says I have a contradiction. A Braisa says Hataras Vatumas. When it comes to dinim of Tumah Vatara, Ha'avugnai Harava Talmidu Moinu Lahem Shnayim. Then yes, a father and son or a Rebbe and Talmud can be counted as two, because with those things you don't really need you don't have a statutory number of Dayanim that you need for those. You need a vote in case the Dayanim over there are split and you need to decide ultimately what the din is, then they need to vote. But there's no specific number of Dayanim that you need for that purpose. Therefore a father and son can sit together on it, or a Rebbe and Talmud, and you can count them as two votes. On the other hand, Dinim Mominus v'dinim Nefashos v'dinim Makos. On the other hand, when it comes to Dinim Mominus or Dinim Nefashos, or dinim makos, cases of malchus, kiddush achodesh ve'ibur shana, or to be mekadesh the chodesh where you need three and ibur shana, whereas we learned in the first parak you need first three, then five, then seven, then ha'avugnoi ha'rava tamidoi en monon lahen ala echad. Then a father and son, or a Rebbe and Talmud, can only be counted as one. And Tosfos points out that Rashi and Tosfos both point out that really when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShana, you can't even have two relatives sit on a Beis Din together anyway. So Abu Benoy are not even going to be sitting on a Beis Din together anyway. But the point is, the son is sitting there, but let's say, for example, a Rebbe and a Talmud, you only count them as one. So what do you mean? You're telling me then that the Rebbe can teach a Talmud right there on the spot, and then they can count as two votes?
Well, maybe they can teach, but then when it comes to voting...
No, but we just said that Rav is saying they can count as two votes, but Don Imo, that they can count as two votes when it comes to Dinin Nefashos, because Braisa says they're not. The answer is, Kikomer Rav, Rav is talking about a special kind of case, a special kind of Talmud. We're going to Rav Kahana for Rav Asi. For example, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi relative to Rav. Namely, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, the Gemara de Rav Habutzuchi, in what sense were they Talmidim of Rav? In what sense did they need Rav to teach them when it came to the Gemara, meaning the actual facts? Rav knew facts, Rav knew halachas and things that they didn't know. But when it came to svaris, when it came to finding rayas and figuring out what applies where, they were great enough on their own that they didn't need to learn that from Rav. So therefore, they can be considered people on their own, because Rashi points out, as far as needing Gemara from a Rebbe, big deal. I mean, the whole Jewish people learned the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu learned a new mitzvah from the Eidishter, he goes and teaches it to the whole Jewish people. And yet we say that all the Jewish people, that you have 70 other Dayanim over there, and they can be members of the Beis Din alongside Moshe. And obviously it doesn't count, and obviously each of them counts as one vote. So needing Gemara, needing to learn facts, halachas, from somebody doesn't necessarily make him your Rebbe in the sense that you can't count as two separate people. If you have to learn Svara from him, then yes, you can only be counted as one.
The thought process,
yeah. How to reconcile the different brises or the different reasons. Statements or whatever. Yeah, all the reasoning that makes up the meat of the Gemara, yeah.
This is so, the Rav Kahana and Baba Khan with the snake.
That was Rav's Talmud.
This is an earlier Rav.
There's at least six or seven Rav Kahanas in the shop. Okay. So there you go then. So Rav is talking about when you have somebody who is only a quasi Talmud like that. He needs the Gemara, but he doesn't need the Svara. He's able to figure out the Svaras independently. He can count as a vote of his own on the Beis Din. The Braisa is talking about when he needs the Gemara and the Svara, then he can't count as a separate voice.
Now, when you say that Rav Kana...
No, but again, because everybody needed the Gemara for Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately, yeah. And they still counted as separate Dayanim.
When the Dayanim didn't have to learn, they knew the Torah. They didn't have to learn more.
But they do. Every time the Eibishter gives a new Moshe, a new mitzvah to Moshe, he needs
the digit.
Therefore, that gives us the precedent. Okay.
Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, they didn't need Svara from Rav, but they did learn. They
had to learn the facts from him. They had to learn. Lamasha Shomer Mirabe, Rashi says. What Rav learned from Ezra Beim, they had to learn from him, because otherwise they wouldn't have known it. Okay.
But they did learn Svara from him, too,
okay.
As being a student.
But they didn't have to. They were capable of figuring out Svara.
It just means that they were capable enough.
Okay. Onward. There are 10 differences between which we learned in our Mishnah at the beginning of our parak, between Dinim Mominus and Dinim Nefashis. Only one out of those 10 is Noyeg when it comes to a Shor HaNiskol, namely that you need 23, just like a human being. But all the other rules that we said in the Mishnah, the fact that the judgment has to be held over for the next day, the fact that you need a majority of two, the fact that all that doesn't apply to a Shor HaNiskol. Okay, the question is Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? Omer of Achaba Papa, the Omer Kro, Loi Sata Mishpek of Yon Chabiriba, because
you don't need to think overnight for a Shonik.
No, you don't, that's the point. You don't need to. You can have the trial on the verdict all on the same day, yeah. So where do we know this? The Omer Kro, because the Pasuk says, Loi Sata Mishpek of Yon Chabiriba, don't, Sata means to incline, which is the same Pasuk in Achrod Am Lahafi. Don't incline, in other words, don't vote in favor, don't vote for conviction, mishpat evyoncha, the judgment of your evyon, literally evyon means a poor person, but here it means a person who's poor in mitzvahs, in other words, a rasha, a person who committed an avera. Berivoy, in his argument, in his trial, meaning mishpat evyoncha yatamata, meaning when it comes to evyoncha, when it comes to another yid, when you're trying him, then you need to have a majority. You need to have a super majority. You need to have a majority of at least two, and then all the other things that we said in the Mishnah. Because all the various things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, all the distinctions between Dinim Mominus and Dinim Nefashis, except for the fact that you have 3 versus 23, all the other differences over there were meant to make it more likely that you will acquit him. Therefore, we said you have to begin with an argument in his favor, and therefore you have that anybody who was arguing for acquittal can't change his mind and start arguing for conviction, etc. So, like Sata Mishpat of Yon Chabiriba, you should not put it in a situation where the Evyon, where this poor guy who did terrible Averis, is going to have the case turned against him. Meaning, why does the Pasuk have to say that? It means Mishpat of Yoin Chayatabata. It means when it comes to the Mishpat of an Evyon, meaning a fellow Yid, then it has to be that way. You can't allow it to be inclined against him as much as possible. Avalatamata Mishpat Shal Shor HaNiskol. But you're allowed to do that when it comes to a Shor HaNiskol. A Shor HaNiskol is not of Yoin Chayatabata. Therefore, not again. What? So therefore, Shor HaNiskol, and Rashi says, because the point is, Mela, when it comes to another Yid, Mela, when it comes to a human being, you're trying as much as possible to exonerate him. You don't want to have to execute him if you can help it. A Shor HaNiskol, on the other hand, the fact is, look, the Pasuk says, you should get rid of the evil from your midst. You don't have the countervailing thing, but it's a human life. So therefore, go ahead and do whatever you can, whatever it takes to convict. You have to be fair. You have to be fair. Sata doesn't mean to pervert justice. It means that you don't have to take special effort to make sure that it's more likely to exonerate.
As opposed to special effort.
Yeah, and that's the point. The 9 of the 10 things in our Mishnah were meant as special efforts So the question is, Zara HaTasavu. What do you mean there's 10 differences between Dinim Mominus and Dinim Nefashis? There are only 9. So the Gemara fires right back. What do you mean? Half Zara Katani. If you count in the Mishnah, there are a tack of 10.
You say 9.
Why is the Makshan asking? Why is the Gemara asking? There are only 9. If you count them, there are 10. The answer is Mishum de Einakok Sherin the Esim Shloisha Chodin. Because this that the Mishnah says that you need 23, and this that the Mishnah says that you, that only certain people can serve on a Beis Din, where the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, had said that only Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim, and Masiim, the Kohuna, are able to serve on a Beis Din, Chodesh is essentially the same thing. In other words, it's talking about who is allowed, what is the composition of the Beis Din. The two details in that, the number of people and the type of people, is essentially the Machshon thinks that it's only one thing. So therefore, the question is then in that case you only have nine things. You have one rule about the composition of the Beis Din, which includes the number and the type of people. You have eight other rules listed in the Mishnah, so you have a total of nine. The answer is yes, but there's another one that you can add to the ones that are listed in the Mishnah to bring the number back up to 10. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Meshivim the Sanhedrin, Zokin the Soros, and Mishaim Lebonim. You're not allowed to feed on a Sanhedrin a person who's old, an old person. Rashi says the reason is because an old person has already forgotten about Sar Gidol Bonim. He's already forgotten about what it's like to raise kids. So therefore, he doesn't have as much Rachmanos anymore. A Soros is somebody who can never have children. Same problem. That's some of them, of course, because a Soros can never have children by definition. A Soros can't have children. So therefore, he never learns the kind of Rachmanos that you have when you have children. You develop a certain Rachmanos. Some of the other Mephoroshim say, I think the Yad Ramah maybe says, I think it is, says that also a Zokin, we all know older people have less patience. Well, never mind Sa'u Gidol Bonim. It's just old people in general are
cranky.
Or Misha in Lebonim, or anybody else who doesn't have children. So therefore, so that's a tenth thing.
Say the one who is a son can also be very...
It can, but it's more likely a person has...
Money.
Okay,
what do you do about that?
But on the other hand, a person who has children is more likely to be Rachmanis. So therefore, so that's our tenth rule.
We're talking about good people.
Now, by the way, you could argue this rule also has to do with the composition of the Sanhedrin. So what's the difference between it and the rule about Kohenim, Levim, etc.? So the different Mephoshim talk about that. The Rashba talks about in one of his Trovas the question. Let's say you had, for example, somebody who was a member of a Beis Din when he was young, and now he got older. Does he have to be dismissed from the Beis Din? The Rashba actually said yes. Some other Mephoshim say that no. What the Gemara means over here by distinguishing between those two is that no. You can't feed him Machila as an old person, but if he's been serving there for 50 years, you don't have to dismiss him.
That's interesting because the Rosh Hashiva never gets dismissed.
Okay.
He should be on the basis.
Okay.
The Rosh Hashiva never.
Yeah.
They're
that's not the head of a Sanhedrin. Yes, but they're not head. They're not doing dinin. They're not doing dinin nefashos.
They're not
doing dinin nefashos.
They're not doing
dinin nefashos. It's involved. Yeah. It's involved on the path of the Chorban. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Moisif Afach. Rav Yehuda adds another category of person who can't serve on a Sanhedrin, a cruel person. Same idea, because he won't have Rachman. What? Normally, yes, but if you have a person who you know to be Achzorius, even if he's otherwise a great Talmid Chacham and otherwise qualified, don't see him. The Gemara says, Rechilufan b'Mesis. The reverse of this applies to a Mesis. When it comes to a Beis Din that's going to judge a Mesis, by all means, have old people, have a Soros, etc. You don't have to be, but if there's a Zokin who's otherwise qualified to sit on a Beis Din, by all means let him sit on a Beis Din with a Mesis. Because the Pasuk anyway says that you shouldn't have Rachmanos and you shouldn't cover up for him. So therefore we don't mind so much if the Beis Din is Avodah Zarah. He tries to convince other people to worship Avodah Zarah. You still need to give him a fair trial, but we don't have to go to that extreme to make sure that the members of the Beis Din are going to be Rachmanos to people. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kol Kshedrin Modim.
Modern to be Kasha.
Yeah.
By the Zara than someone who kills.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see later on in the Masechta. We'll see there's a different rule that in which we're more harsh as far as killing. We'll get to that later on in the eighth there. Okay. We said Akol Kshedrin Modim Dinim Mominus. The Mishnah had said that anybody is kosher to judge Dinim Mominus. So the question is Akol Lasu Yemai. What is that word Akol? That's the question. What does that Akol come to include? It comes to include that a mamzer is allowed to be out of Beis Din to judge Dinim Mominus. Question is, Hatanena Chadazimna. We already learned that in a different Mishnah. Kol Haroi Lodin Dinim Nefashis, Roi Lodin Dinim Mominus. Anybody who's suitable to judge Dinim Nefashis is also able to judge Dinim Mominus. V'yesh Roi Lodin Dinim Mominus, Vein Roi Lodin Dinim Nefashis. So there's a certain category of people who are able to judge dinim mominus, but not dinim nefashos. V'havinon ba, and we discussed it, l'asur yamai. What is that come to include V'amar Rav Yehuda l'asu yamamzer, and Rav Yehuda there also says that it comes to include a mamzer. So the question isn't so much why there needs to be two Mishnayos. You have a lot of things that are repeated many times in Mishnayos. The question is why Rav Yehuda has to say it, why Rav Yehuda, the Amorah, has to say it in both places. The answer is chod l'asu yager v'chod l'asu yamamzer. The answer is that no, it's not that both Mishnayos are coming to include that a mamzer is allowed to sit on the base.
Here and where else?
Here and in Nida.
And in Nida?
Yeah. That's the Mishnah we've
been citing. Nida.
In Nida, that's the Mishnah. We quoted this on the other day in the Gemara. We said that it was a Stam Mishnah like Reb Meir, because it's a whole series of Mishnayos over there that all A are B, but not all B are A. We have a bunch of examples over there. That's Kol Mokum Shesh Mecher in Knas, Kol Mokum Shesh Knas in Mecher, whatever. You have a bunch of examples like that. Yeah. Okay. So the answer is Chod Elasu Yeger v'Chod Elasu Yamamzer. No, it's not actually both Mishnayos are coming to teach us that a mamzer can sit on a base din. It's when it comes to dinim amanus. No, one is coming to teach us that a ger and the other one that a mamzer. Rav Yehuda said, but actually what it is he meant that one of them comes to teach us a ger and the other one comes to teach us a mamzer. Even though he said mamzer, he meant that one of them is for one and one is din. Okay. Utsricha, and he needs to tell us both. You wouldn't know one from the other. Yashmin and ger, because if we were only told that a ger is able to sit on a base din, then fine, you would say Duroy love of a call. Fine, at least the ger is allowed to marry any yid he wants. A ger can marry any Jewish woman he wants. Avam mamzer, aim a boy, but you're a mamzer is not allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. He can only marry a mamzeres or geyeres or what have you. You would think maybe not. The Iyashmin and Mamzer, and conversely, if Rav Yehuda only told us that a Mamzer is kosher to sit on a base din for Dinei Mominus, you would argue to bum a Kippah Kshera. Fine, but at least a Mamzer comes from a Kippah Kshera. He's born to Jewish parents. The circumstances of the conception were no good, but the tippa itself, the father's tippa is a kosher tippa, the mother's tippa is a kosher tippa, in the sense they're both Jews. The union of them is no good, but they're each one individually. But a ger who didn't come from Tipa Ksheira, because he's born from Goyim, Eimalo, you would think maybe not. Sricha, and that's why you have to tell us both. Mind you, Tosfos discusses over here
that implies that a ger is born from
the Tipa. No, a ger is not born from Tipa Ksheira. And actually, Tosfos explains over here on the basis of Gemara's elsewhere that a ger is kosher to sit on a base in Dinim Mominus only if the Baladinim are other Gerim themselves. A Ger Taka cannot sit on a base did to judge born Jews, and that's how the Halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So Mamzer can, and in a moment. So
Dinin
Afashis, for sure not. We said in the Mishnah that only Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim, Hamasim, the Kohona, only people who have Yichus, are able to sit on a base for Dinin Afashis. That's the next thing the Gemara is going to take out. But, Tosfos mentions on the basis of we have a pasuk in this week's parasha when it talks about appointing a king, and we learn it's not just a melech, but any srara, any position of authority. So it has to be mekerav achecha. A mamzer is at least mekerav achecha. His parents are both Jews. A ger is not.
So therefore, that's that. So if it's a mamzer from a geyeres,
there's no such thing as a mamzer from a geyeres. If his parents weren't Jews when he was conceived, then he can't be a mamzer. It's one or the other of his parents.
The mother was a geyeres.
That's fine, but he was born. That's
she's
fine.
Considered kosher.
Okay. Okay. Then we said and Lodum. We said not everybody is kosher to judge dinin afashis. My timer. Why is that? The Tony Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef teaches in a brisa. Kishem shebeis din menukin b'tzedek, just as beis din has to be clean as far as righteousness, kach menukin mikol mum. So also they have to be clean of any mum, meaning a mum in their yichus. Menukin b'tzedek means they have to be completely fair, just people. Anshechayo, yirei lekim, etc. So the same way, they have to be clean of any mum, a mum in their family, that is. Amar Amem, a Maikra, where the Pasuk that expresses that idea, Pasuk says, Kulach Yafa Rayasi and Shir Hashirim. You are completely beautiful, my beloved, umum ein bach, and there's no mum in you. Next question is, Vidum mum mamish. Maybe, who says it means a mum of family? Maybe it means an actual physical mum. Amar Vachaba Yaakov, for that you have a different Pasuk. Amar Kra, this Yatvu Shom Imach, pasuk says about the seventy skenim of Moshe Rabbeinu's time, that they should stand there with you. Meaning imach means b'doim in loch. They have to be just like you, meaning they have to be miyuchasim, just like Moshe had yichus.
We all come from.
It doesn't matter. We're talking about that Moshe comes from a family that had the. We don't mean yichus like in the sense that nowadays I can trace my lineage back to such and such a rav. We mean, part of there's no mamzerus, there's no psula yichus or whatever in the family. That's what we mean. Okay. The question is, we're doing a
halacha. Geret comes from Tipa.
Okay.
And we come from Gerim also.
But we're not talking about the Ger himself. We're not talking about the Ger's descendants. Right. The Ger's descendants come from Tipa Shera. Okay. The question is, we're doing a hosam from Shechina. Why? Maybe in that case, it's a special case. The Shechina is going to rest on those 70 skenim. Therefore, they have to be kosher of Nichus. Who says that it means, in general, members of Beis Din have to be kosher of Nichus? No, but the Pasuk says, when Yisrael recommends to Moshe to appoint judges, there's no Shechina involved over there. But Yisrael tells him, v'nosu itach, they should bear the burden with you. So therefore, itach b'daimen lach levi, it means they have to be like you in that they have kosher yichus. The truth is, Tosfos says, I mean, Moshe also did not have any mumim. So we could have argued that, and that we can compare them as far as they can't have mumim either. But here, the Gemara is not doing that. The Gemara is assuming that itach means as far as yichus. With that said, the halacha still is based on this Gemara that the members of a Beis Din have to be menuchim mikol mum. They can't have any physical blemishes either. There's a well-known story involving Moshe Feinstein late in life. He lived into his 80s. He lived into his early 90s. But the late in life, sometime in his 80s, I think they had to do surgery on him and put on a pacemaker. He was sitting and discussing with his son-in-law and with other people, would that make him a Baal Mum? Mashiach comes during his lifetime, and he felt, with a good reason, that he would be qualified to sit on the Sanhedrin. Would that make him a Baal Mum? I think in the end they concluded that it wouldn't, but that was the discussion. Mishnah says, Sanhedrin hoisa kachatzi gur nagula. The Sanhedrin would sit in a half circle. A gurin is a threshing floor. It was usually round, so that like this they'd spread the grain on the floor, and then animals would go and tread on it, going round and round. So therefore, it was usually round. So chatzi gur nagula means like half of a round threshing floor, so a semicircle. Kadeshi Uroy and Zesta, in order that this way all the members of the Beis Din can see each other.
That's the Senate, basically.
They'll have to, yeah. Because otherwise, if they sit in straight lines, they're not going to all be able to see each other, yeah.
In English, they sit in straight lines, but they
can't. Okay. The two court recorders stand in front of them. Echad mi'imin ve'echad mi'smo. One stands to the right, one stands to the left. V'kos v'divim v'chayvin v'divim mezakin. V'mashtos, yeah. And they write down what the ones who are arguing for acquittal and the ones who are arguing for conviction, they write it all down. Rashi learns that it means both of the recorders write down everything. They write what the Mechayvim say and they write what the Mezakim say. Tosfos doesn't say, but the Rambam and the Meiri learn that it means one writes the Mechayvim, one writes the Mezakim. Rabbi Yehuda and Shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda says you have three recorders. Echad kosev divrei hamezakin, ve'echad kosev divrei hamechayven, v'ashlishi kosev divrei hamezakin v'divrei hamechayven. You have one for the mezakin, one for the mechayven, and one who writes both. That way, Rashi says. But Rashi says the reason is because that way you're not burdening the other two so much. So that way they'll be able to write it. In more detail. And in case, though, it happens, one of them makes a mistake, then they can use the third one to establish what it was supposed to be. The Dayanim themselves don't record. They're talking. They're not recording.
Nothing what they said.
Yeah, they're recording what the Dayanim said. Yeah, because we said the other day.
Mezakin
and Mechayvin means that among the Dayanim. Each Dayan is arguing. We're talking about the Dayanim. We're saying each Dayan says, for example, he'll say, I argue we should convict the guy on the basis that the Pasuk says such and such, and we darshan that it means such and such. And the Sofer Dayanim will write that down. And another one will say, I argue we should acquit because I understand the Pasuk to be saying something different, etc.
And then we're going to write what the
No, so the plaintiff doesn't necessarily speak up for himself and Basin. You're right. You have to, there'll be what the agents say. What the agents say doesn't necessarily have to be written down. All the Dayanim heard it.
Okay.
Right. It might lead to confusion. I mean, one of the Sofrim writes just statements that are only either Zakai or...
No, they don't just write the word Zakai or Chayiv. They write the reason. Dayan, Reb Pliny said that you should convict him because the Pasuk says such and such, and we doubt it to mean such and such. And the other one writes, the Dayan Pliny says that you should exonerate him, yeah. The Shalosh Shuras of Talmud Chachamim Yoshev in Lefneim. Three rows of Talmud Chachamim would sit in front of the Beis Din. Each row had 23 in it. Why is that?
Rashi says,
facing the circle, the semicircle. Rashi says, because like this. You can have a situation, as we learned back in the first paragraph, you can have a situation where the Beis Din is deadlocked. One of the Dayanim says, I don't know what to do, whether to vote, whether to convict, or to acquit. So therefore, you're left with only 22. Then you need to start adding members to the Beis Din. You may end up getting all the way up to 71. So in principle, you need 48 extra people over there to be available. Wow. Now, the thing is, the obvious way to do 48 would be you just have two rows of 24. The problem with that is the Sanhedrin itself, if the Beis Din itself is only 23, so you're going to have a row of 24 in front of them. It's not respectful for the Beis Din that the rows are going to be larger than the Beis Din. So therefore, what we do is we make three rows, also we make rows of 23, but you're not going to have 23, 23, and 2. So you make three rows of 23.
Although you don't need all of them.
Although you don't need all of them, because you only need 48 of them maximum. They'll sit there. They'll learn. They're coming to Chachamim. They'll learn from what the Beis Din is doing. Right. Each one knows their place. In other words, they don't just sit at random. They sit in order. They sit in order of their greatness. The one, the greatest Talmud sits in spot number one. The next greatest one in spot number two, etc. What number one? It's probably at the end of the row. No, not semicircle. That's the Dayanim. We're talking about the Talmidim. The pastor is number one, sits at the end of one row, number two next to him, number three next to him, etc. Now, what happens if they need to give smicha to one of these Talmidim? Let's say, for example, one of the Dayanim dies and they need a substitute. So then what they do is they take somebody from the first row, they take the greatest Talmud in the first row and promote him to be a member of the Beis Din. And everybody moves up one seat. So now the Talmud at the head of the second row goes to the end of the first row, because he moves up one seat. And the top one from the third row moves up to the end of the second row. This is an example, it says in Pirkei Avos, have a zon of la roya spalti roish l'shu'alim, better to be a tail to lions than a head of foxes. You're better off being the end of the second row, for example, in the beginning of the third row. Then what they do is they have to have three full rows, so they pick a member of the audience, and they have him sit in the last seat on the third row, and he's going to now be in the rotation over there, where eventually he'll become one of the Talmidim. It wasn't just some they wouldn't just do a random person. They'd probably pick whoever. He wouldn't sit in the place that was vacated by the person who left. Ella Yoshev Mokam Aroyla, he sits in the appropriate place for him at the end of the third row. And that's how they keep on refilling the bench, I think.